There we are. Okay. So, hi everybody. This is Vance Stevens in Al Ain, United Arab Emirates. And we're talking with Claire Siskin and also with Bipasha Bint Haq and Shamsi Arahuda in Bangladesh. They're in their studio right now. Actually, it's in Shamsi's office. And we're hoping that Sadia Zafran Lia can join us as well. She's one of the team of developers of a product that we're going to hear about. It's called Brim English, and it's written in live code. And I believe it was started when Claire went to Bangladesh and worked with this team of people as part of the ELF program, the U.S. government ELF program. So I'll let them introduce all that, but this is Learning Together, episode 337, episode 337, and this is the 26th of June, and we're happy to have Claire with us from Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, I
guess. Yes.
She'll correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. Okay. And Bipasha and Shamsi are here from Dhaka in Bangladesh. So thank you very much for joining us. And I also should mention that Elizabeth Ann from Grenoble is in the session as well, and Chris Fry from Barcelona. He's joined us as well. Okay, thank you very much. Over to you.
Okay, thanks very much for that introduction, Vance. I'm not sure if it's Elizabeth or Chris has written. I hope we're going to learn what live code is. Definitely you're going to learn what it is. Vance is correct. I'm in Pittsburgh. Bipasha and Shamsi are in Dhaka, Bangladesh. Sadia, we hope, is going to join us momentarily. So I'll go on to the next slide. As Vance said, I was working in Bangladesh last year for 5 months at Daffodil University, and here is our smiling team of developers. We started out with a couple of men in the group, and they decided that it was too difficult. they decided it was too much work, so they dropped out, but we continued going. Here are pictures of the team members. Dr. Bipasha Bint Haq, okay. Shamsi Arahuda, who has just become the department head, Sadia Zafran Lia, and myself. Okay, so here's an overview of what we're going to cover today. We're going to give you a little bit of perspective about Daffodil International University and the circumstances that the students are working in. We're going to talk about why we might want to make an app. I'll explain what live code is. I'll give a brief demonstration of the app that we've made, which is called Brimming. And then hopefully Sadia is going to talk about the procedure. If not, I'll talk about it. And then I'll talk about the availability. This will be available free when we get it done. Okay, so now Shamsi is going to talk to you a little bit about Daffodil International University.
Hello, I'm Shamsi Arahuda. I'm working as an assistant professor and head in the Department of English in Daffodil International University. Daffodil University is a private university in Bangladesh, and it has three campuses. We have campus in Dhanmondi, in Uttara, and in Ashulia. Our permanent campus is in Ashulia. And in Daffodil International University, our medium of instruction is English. We have more than 16,000 students who are pursuing their graduation and post-graduation degrees in different departments. And to facilitate those students to understand their course curriculum, we have English Foundation program. Mainly we offer English 1 and English 2 courses where we try to help them with listening, speaking, writing, and speaking skills.
Reading
skills as well. But unfortunately, students in English 1 and English 2 have limited time inside the classroom. And we found that they need more language practice outside the classroom because most of their time is occupied with doing many lessons on grammar, but they do not have sufficient time to practice. So, and these students also have a limited access to laptops and computers and tablets. We have labs for computer labs, but language dance dancer, but they do not have enough access over there. So, but we have a plus point, that is, most of our students have smartphones. They carry smartphones in their pocket. And in Bangladesh, smartphones are not that costly. Within how much? That is $100, less than $100. That is within only in $50, students can have smartphones, and they have smartphones in their pockets. And so we thought that why not using this platform to reach them? And in Dhaka, Dhaka is a city of traffic jam. So we thought that then they are stuck in traffic jam, they can use their mobile phone, their smartphones, and they can use that app of streaming that we have recently designed, and they can have practice on the lessons that they have in their classroom. Now, I think now it is time for Vipasa Vinsahok, madam, to talk about the next.
We always wondered that, you know, what there are so many English language learning apps available on the web. If you go in the Play Store, you will find many free apps, and you can buy some apps with a minimum sort of money or something like that. But why did we come up with the idea that we are going to have some apps for our own students? Well, the idea is that we have a fixed curriculum, and students follow the curriculum. We follow the curriculum strictly. And we have students who have lower intermediate sort of capacity. They have lower intermediate, or even sometimes we get even beginner students in our classes for language learning. So we thought, okay, we might help them practice some skills, listening, speaking, reading, writing, that would be related to our curriculum. So the whole idea was brought together that, okay, we will design these apps, these activities according to the syllabus, according to the content of the according to the materials, whatever we have for them. So I think this is how we had the idea that, okay, they are going to work things that are directly related to our curriculum.
The idea is that the lessons we provide them in the classroom.
Yes.
So they can practice.
They can practice outside
the classroom.
Yes. Outside the classroom. Yes.
Yeah. So that they can have more exposure to those activities. That is our point.
So now I think Fair is going to
tell us. Fair is going to tell us about LifeCode and our app, I think.
Okay, and before I do that, I forgot to say at the beginning, if any of you have questions, just go ahead and interrupt and or put a question in the text box, and we'll be happy to stop. LifeCode is sometimes known as a RAD tool, which is a rapid application development tool. It makes it possible to make an app without really knowing how to program, because none of us are programmers. Okay, some of you may have heard of this before. There was a product called HyperCard in the 1980s. It evolved into MetaCard, which evolved into Runtime Revolution, and now it's called LifeCode. It's really all the same product. The difference is, I guess, that HyperCard ran only on Macintosh, but the other three, MetaCard, Runtime Revolution, and LifeCode, run on Mac, PC, and also on Linux. So it's evolved to be a much more versatile tool. There is now a community edition or open source version, which means, of course, that you don't have to pay any money for it. Right now, they've actually split this off into two different websites. LifeCode.org has the free version. LifeCode.com has the commercial version. The only difference in the version is that it's exactly the same code. Okay, the difference is that with the commercial version, you can protect your code. You can set it up so that people cannot see what you're doing. They don't have access to that. Whereas in LifeCode, you can download it for free, and we've been using only the free edition, okay? And when you make it available, you also have to make the code available, which we will certainly do. Okay, before I get to that, sorry. Here's a shot of us in the lab in Dhaka, and that's Sadia, who isn't here. Sifat, who also isn't here, and Chamsi, who is here, okay? And as you see, they're not crying or screaming. They seem to be working pretty well. They're smiling at least, okay? And we had class, while I was there, we had classes about once a week, and I will say that we did start with a larger group, and not everybody stayed with it, but I'll let them talk a little bit more about the benefits that they got from it. One of the really nice things about LifeCode is that it's, oh, by the way, I don't own any stock in the company. I'm not getting anything from this except it's a product that my husband and I really love. Basically, you can do the development on PC or Mac or Linux, but then when you make it available for people to use, you can make it available on either PC, Mac, Linux, or iOS for iPad, or for iPhone, or for Android, okay? So basically, you cannot develop on an iPhone or an iPad, but you can deploy it. You can use it for all those different platforms. Okay, so our plan is to develop for smartphones, because this is what the students at Daffodil University actually have. Hi, Rita, good to see you. right now, tablets are not very available in DACA, at least not at Daffodil University. Hopefully, as they become cheaper and more available, we will also make a tablet version. Frankly, it would be nicer to have a tablet version because, of course, we have more real estate on the screen. It's easier to do development. We're concentrating on Android right now because most of the students have Android phones. We're glad to see you anytime, Rita. Okay, so moving right along, I run a website, and it's basically still under the name Rev, of the last name of the product, Revolution. So basically, that's the website, and I put links to all kinds of resources on the web that have to do with LiveCode. There's a very, yeah, that's recorded. Oh, Shamsi, don't say they didn't miss much. They missed a lot. But there is a very active listserv, which is free to join. There are a lot of tutorials on the website. I have templates online. There's a lot of information that is linked from that website. So if you're interested in pursuing that, you might want to look at that. Okay, now I'm going to do a demonstration of this app that we're making, and it's called Brimming. And I think the idea, and Shamsi and Bipasha can speak better than I can. Of course, it's got the Daffodil logo for Daffodil University. But the idea is that English is overflowing. Is that right, Bipasha? Okay. They came up with this idea, Brimming. That's the name of it. The English is sort of overflowing and ubiquitous, and it's everywhere. So that's the idea. Now, with this platform, I can't show the actual app, but I'm going to show you screenshots from the app, which have been put into PowerPoint. Okay, so that's the first screen, okay? And then, yeah, I think the logo was done by an artist, wasn't it, Chomsky?
Yes.
You say, yeah. I think they did a very nice job. I could never do anything that good. Okay, so basically, we may be adding grammar later, but right now we have vocabulary, reading, writing, and listening. And they can get to this menu from any different screen, and they can go to different sections when they want to. So here's one of the vocabulary exercises, and I cannot show you this real time, but basically it's a drag and drop. If they drag the word into the blank, if it's the correct word, it stays there and they get some feedback. And if it's the wrong word, it doesn't stay. It won't stay in the blank. I wish I could show you this dynamically, but you'll have to take my word for it. Okay, an example now of the reading. Basically, and Shamsi, go ahead if you want to add something here, because Shamsi did the reading part. By the way, all of this content and the design came from the teachers. My role has just been the technical part, putting it into LiveCode. Actually, they put it into LiveCode originally, but with some assistance from me, and I'm doing the conversion into the Android app. But Shamsi, do you want to say anything about this? Basically, it's a series of quotations. And then they have some choices, and they have to decide which is nearest in meaning.
Yes, I have designed it to check reading comprehension.
So if they if they tap the correct tone, there will be a feedback and with an explanation. And if they tap an incorrect tone, there will be a feedback like incorrect. So it is as it is designed for Android mobile phone. The screen is, you know, not that big like laptop screen or like desk or tab screen. That's why I thought that quotations can work here very well to find out the reading comprehension ability of the student. So
yes,
that is all about the view of this one, I think.
Right. Good. Yeah, you cannot see it here, but if you clicked on one of those choices, it would say, yes, you're right, no, you're wrong. We would like to have much more extensive feedback, but with the limited space on the smartphone screen, that's very difficult, and we would really like to do a more extensive version for tablet and for laptops. Okay, so now we'll go and look at the writing, and this one has several different parts, and this is the part that that Sadia did. So anyway, the first part, it basically here, let's see, I don't have a screenshot that shows it, but if they click on annotate, part of the letters of the text will turn red. So the phrase is without getting your results published, and so that phrase, everything before the comma, would turn red. And they have a series of those. It's practice in identifying noun phrases, noun clauses, phrases, various elements in the sentence. Okay, so then they have some elements where they have to identify whether they are phrases or clauses. And they get some feedback saying, yes, that's a clause, or no, that isn't a phrase, something like that. Okay, so on to the next one, then listening and Vipasha, please, and this is the part that I'm finishing up right now, almost finished with that. This is the part, and Vipasha, this was part of a research project that you did, right?
Yes.
Was this part of your PhD dissertation, I think?
Yes. These are some materials that I designed to test the listening comprehension ability of my students. And so these are original materials. And later on, this was edited with the help with Fair. I think we used Audacity and chopped mm-hmm. them into different parts. And here, hence, we have these small units of listening comprehension.
And yeah. I think, Vipasha, I think that you learned how to use Audacity as part of the process, right?
Yeah.
So one of the nice benefits of the project was that that people investigated other tools and learned how to use other tools, which could have applications far beyond using live code. So in a place like Bangladesh, you hear English in all kinds of different accents, which, as an American, for sometimes me, this was very difficult, but it's useful for the students to be able to identify these, which is a perspective that had not occurred to me before I went to Bangladesh. And so I can't play it here because you're just looking at a PowerPoint slide, but basically they can play, hear the English, and identify which type of English it is. Okay, so then they have, then they just have some comprehension questions. I'm gonna change this, Vipasha, to put the listen button in so the audio will be available from every screen. Is that okay with you? I think that's why. Notice that we're doing real time design here. I think it'll be better than having them click back and forth. Okay, there's another part here where Vipasha, you had done another part that I have not added yet, where they can listen to a sentence and then there's a word, and they can take the words and put them in the correct order. I'm going to add, if that's okay with you, I'll add that. We're still working on this. All of these projects take longer than you would hope. Okay, the next part is Sadia's part, and basically what Sadia wanted to do was to go into a little bit more detail about live code and how it actually works. Okay, so this is her take on the procedure for creating apps, and hopefully Shamsi and Vipasha, you'll mention this. As she says, the first thing you have to do is collect your resources and decide what the content is. We're using the academic word list, and we're using various other materials that we've come across. Then those have to be categorized as to whether they are listening, speaking, grammar, etc. We also have a grammar section that we're working on, but that part is still under development. The stack, in live code, the stack is a metaphor for file. think about PowerPoint. Your whole collection of slides in PowerPoint is called a file, but each individual screen is called a slide. Well, in LifeCode, each individual screen is called a card. It's everything that you see on the card is on the screen is a card, and the collection of cards is called a stack. And the fields fields are places where you put text, and buttons are places where you have action. So the next thing you have to do is put all this content, all these resources into stacks. And you put in the text, you put the text into fields, and you put the actions into buttons. And the last thing that you have to do is write scripts for each of these. And everything can have a script. A stack can have a script. A card can have a script. A field can have a script. A button can have a script. Writing scripts can be a little tedious, except it's not nearly as hard as programming, and also you can use copy and paste. And if you go to my website, I've got a stack called scripts, and basically I tried to think of all the common scripts that language teachers would want to use, and you can just go there and copy and paste them. So it doesn't take too much knowledge, really, at least not after the beginning. So basically, she's categorized these activities, grammar, vocabulary, listening, speaking, reading, writing. That's pretty much how they are organized. And then basically, she's talking about exactly how you do it. And basically, it is programming. Yeah, Elizabeth says writing scripts is programming. Programmers would say no, okay? I kind of think it's like programming, but it's like making a web page. Some people say that HTML is programming. A real programmer would say, oh no, that's just putting tags around text or tags around links, okay? So a real programmer, somebody who does Java or C++, they would say LiveCode isn't programming, it's scripting. It's a scripting language. But maybe that distinction doesn't work. The nice thing about it is it may seem a little daunting at the beginning, and I hope that Chauncey and Bipasha will talk a little bit about their experience. But you can also copy and paste. Once you have the basic concepts down, you can copy and paste, and you go to the characteristics. You can change the colors, as it says here. You can change the size. You can make a lot of different changes. Okay, let's see what else she has. Okay, yes. So when you write the text, you have to, as she's saying, you have to make it clear. You might want to use the imperative and use active verbs like click here. Every place where it said click, we had to change to tap because, of course, when you use a mobile device, you're tapping, you're not clicking. Okay, here's a couple of examples. If you want to make a button that says go back to the previous screen, basically the script is go prev card, or you could say go previous card, or you could say go to the previous card, or go to prev card. To go to the next screen, you would say go next card, or go next, or go to the next card. The on mouse up means when the mouse goes down, or goes up, when you click the mouse down. In mouse up means when you release the mouse. So basically the script goes in between those other two commands. So an awful lot of this you can do with copy and paste, and you don't even have to copy and paste the text. You can copy and paste the object, the button or the field. So that makes it seem a lot like a lot less work than it might be otherwise. Okay, I hope I've totally confused you with that description. Let's see. Yeah, here's another one. We've been able to do a lot just by showing and hiding things, like click on this button and the button says show this card field. Like if you wanted to show a translation, or if you wanted to show a definition, or if you wanted to show some kind of feedback, like this is correct, this is not correct. Go to the next card, go to a different card. And everything can have a name. Buttons can have names, cards can have names, and card fields can have names. So you just say, okay, show this field, and the field has a particular name, and it shows it. Okay, so that's basically what you do. Before I go on, Chauncey and Bipasha, would you like to talk a little bit about your experience? At the beginning, it was difficult, wasn't it?
Could I just mention, you might want to speak up. Speak into the mic.
Me?
Chauncey and Bipasha.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And also, I'd like to introduce my cat, who's joined me. So he's joined our session. He's very engrossed in all this. So, anyway, he'll be here for a while.
What's your cat's name?
His name is Lars.
Okay.
But we call him other things. Okay. Anyway, Claire warned you that we were informal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Just speak as close to the mic as you can.
Because the microphone close.
We hear you fine. We hear you fine. It's just there's an imbalance in the audio. Claire is coming in very loud, which is fine.
I'm sorry.
But anyway, no problem. No problem. It's perfect. Claire, your voice is very good. And mm-hmm. I understand what Vipasha and Shamsi are saying, but just try to come close to the mic or pass the mic over to each other if you like. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
So it's our experience
of making the cards.
Using the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, we used to sit together after long office hours to design to know more about life.
Yes.
And in the beginning, it was very difficult.
Yeah.
Sorry to say, but it is true. In the beginning, it was very
difficult. It was all technical new knowledge to us.
New knowledge to us.
We needed our time to, get to know the jargon,
cards,
tags, and everything put together. So.
And we were 11 in number in the beginning, and at the end, we end up with four
people. Mm-hmm.
So. It is very clear that how much difficult it seems to people with us. But at the end, when I still remember the day when I could make the first card that was on the vocabulary, and I was so happy and so excited. Yes, that I could make something.
Yes.
And in CISO convention, when one of your friends, Claire, I do not remember his name, he addressed me as an app developer from Bangladesh. It has been an honor for me, and I was very excited.
It's not true.
No, we are now
true,
developing
anyway.
Apps.
We are doing something.
And we are doing something together.
Yeah.
And beautiful thing of life goes to me is that we can personalize it.
Yes.
So you already mentioned that it is easy, we can just copy and paste from templates, but the most beautiful thing of life code is for me that I can personalize, I can customize it according to the needs of my students,
yes.
according to my choice,
true.
According to the academic work list I can add, and I can check whether my students are understanding a text or not, whether I can help them more with writing activities. So these are very, very exciting for me. And I think with life coding, if we can design, if we can have more cards, if we can develop more cards and more exercises, it can create a revolution among our students. If they are accustomed to use this, I think it can be very much popular among them, and they can be comfortable in using these apps in their own smartphones. There will be nobody to laugh at them, they will not feel embarrassed, and they will be very free, and they will use the app whenever they want, whatever they want, and how many times they want.
How many
times
there are.
So that is very interesting, I think. So I'm very happy with Life Code, and at the end of the 9 sessions, I could realize that I could achieve something. That's for me. And now
I have the same feeling as Shanti had. It was stressful, but towards the end of 8 classes, I think we had 8 classes this year. It was
9 sessions.
So I think we learned something, some technicalities that we can apply in any discipline, not only for learning English, but for any discipline we can create instruction, effective instruction,
mm-hmm.
and especially for, because I am more interested in listening skills, So this might be like a revolution for the students if they are interested in listening to. In Bangladesh, what happens is we don't have any exposure to listening skills. We don't listen in classes. Although there are some facilities, but teachers aren't skilled enough to utilize those facilities. So students don't develop their listening skills. With Life Code, what I saw that I can play and replay and replay and replay, and students can listen as many times as they want to listen to it. So and that will eventually make them better listeners. So I'm very hopeful about Life Code and its and the scopes and the possibilities it has brought about teaching listening skills. So I'm very hopeful. I'm very positive about that.
And we want to know more about this. We want to know it more for collecting data.
For collecting data, yes. Towards the end, they started teaching us about how we can collect data and do some research with the help of Life Code, but we haven't still explored those things yet. And we think we need some more training. Yes, we need some more training. So with Claire and I think Claire can help us with that.
We've been continuing to work on this, although not maybe as fast as we would like to. One of the powerful features of Live Code that I didn't mention that Bipasha just brought up is that you can use it to collect learner data. Every time they click on the mouse, every time they click a button, every time they type something or record audio or whatever, you can collect that and you can store it on the computer or you can store it remotely on a server. Okay, so, and that's something my husband works at Carnegie Mellon University, and he does a lot of that. And Bipasha, as a researcher, is very interested in that. So I just want to say that we had some struggles doing this, and I think I know if I did this project here in Pittsburgh, I might have had some of the same struggles. Sometimes the internet didn't work, sometimes the power went out, that happens here sometimes. We had computer viruses, we kept having to reinstall things because we had viruses, and those are the types of problems I think that you have in any kind of a technology project. But through it all, I'm very, very proud of these women and what they've done. And after about three classes, they were correcting my mistakes. And they were helping me. And I would do something that didn't work. And they would say, oh, Claire, you forgot. You forgot to do this or whatever. And I really have great admiration for their First of all, for sticking with it, for their persistence, and also for helping me with it, and it helped me learn a lot. So I think we are going to continue this one way or another. We have a Facebook group now that we're working on, and of course we have email. But anyway, so that's where the project is now. I've been working through some of the technical difficulties, and one of the difficulties was actually getting this onto the Android phone, and I sent them this picture. You ladies might remember a few months ago after I got back, I said, here it is, it's actually running on my Samsung phone. So it really does work, and we're almost finished with it. And it will be distributed free of charge, and when it's available, I'll put the information at that website. I'll probably also announce it on Facebook and Twitter and a few other places, and maybe I should do it on Webheads. What do you think, Vance? I should announce it there. So anyway, that's it. I'll put it in the Google Play Store. It's not impossible that we will make it available for iOS, but that would cost more money, and it's definitely it's a little more complicated because of some of Apple's restrictions. The technically is pretty easy, but legally it gets to be more of an issue. So anyway, that's it. Shamsi and Bipasha, if you have anything else to say, we would certainly welcome your comments, your questions. I'm very eager to finish this. I hope I can finish this actually within the next few days. And then, Shamsi, I think the next project should be vocabulary. I think we should make an app just for vocabulary. What do you think?
Yeah.
What we're doing here is we just have a kind of a shotgun approach, and we have some activities for each of the different skill areas. But I think after this, I would like to make an app just for vocabulary, then maybe make one just for grammar. There's no reason why we couldn't make one just for listening, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, that's sort of where the thoughts are now. So the floor is open for questions, comments.
Elizabeth again. Thank you very much indeed. That was very, very interesting. And before any sort of detailed questions, could you say a little bit more about the students recording themselves, the possibility of students recording themselves?
Okay. That's a little bit embarrassing, because for years and years and years with this software, you could record audio. And you can still record audio with Macintosh, can't you, Mark? Right now with this particular rendition, it's not working. The Windows is supposed to put the recording back in when, Mark?
Soon.
Yeah, they call this RSN, real soon now. But actually, this has been a very sore point with me and Mark, because there's a new version coming out. For this project, we've been using version 7. Version 8 is out. And they haven't added the audio recording capability in there yet. At one point, you could even record video, but that I don't think is working terribly well. So it's definitely a product that's evolving, that's developing. Elizabeth, are you a Macintosh user or a PC user?
Well, I'm on my laptop, I'm PC, and mobile, I am Apple. But
okay.
That's not the point. I find it really, really interesting.
Yeah, Elizabeth, if you go to my website, not that address, but the other one, I have a tutorial on how to record audio. But right, bye, Rita. By the way, so nice for you to come. Good to see you. The audio tutorial I have there works on the current Macintosh version, but it doesn't work on no longer works on the Windows version. But if you, when I was at the University of Pittsburgh, I had several research projects where students came in and recorded audio, and it worked perfectly on both platforms. But you know how it is with technology. Sometimes we go one step forward and two steps back, and that's happened.
It's certainly a field in enormous change at the moment.
Yes.
And No. It really was a point of interest, because I found it really, really exciting. Because in my university, we have the students in the second year have a book which gives them a common program across, because there's like 25 classes in the second year, their first year of English with us, and the fact of having a common program means the teachers do what they want, but they've got a constant reference of what they need for the exam.
Okay.
And like the way you were saying that, yeah, we want them to have what they're doing in class in a different way.
Yes.
And I think it's really the idea of being able to make your own in this way is just I just find it absolutely great. Because the students have this book. This book has, it's only had two editions, and people are saying, oh my God, it's out of date. And although the contents and the structure is not out of date, to simply transfer that with a few adjustments into this sort of system would be wow.
Yeah. The company, by the way, is in Scotland. It's in Edinburgh, Scotland. And they're having a conference in August. I think it's August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And my husband and I will be attending the conference. We're going to be talking about uses of live code in language learning. And frankly, one of the main reasons we were attending is because we and some other people want to sort of lobby the company and say, please put the audio recording back in there. Keep the multimedia tools. Because what happens is they will make a new version, and then the multimedia tools always tend to be lagging. you know, they work perfectly, and then they get a new version and it stops working, and then they work perfectly, and so forth. So that's one of the reasons we're actually going to go to the conferences, so we can be there face to face and say, come on, we language teachers really need the audio recording. So playing audio right now is not a problem, and I had to learn some new scripts and learn and adjust things a little bit to get it to work on the Android, but that part is working now. That's been successful. I'm very fortunate that my husband is very good at live code. And he helps me. I'm not much of a scripter. I think the ladies from Bangladesh are now just as good at scripting as I am, almost as good. And so my husband scripts at a much more advanced level and has been able to help me with that a lot. Yeah, I really think that, and research has shown that when teachers develop materials, especially materials in CALL, computer-assisted learning, teacher-made materials are often more effective and students pay more attention to them than commercial materials. You know, because teachers, exactly as you said, we make these materials as an extension of our classroom. And so it's custom tailored exactly to what the students need. We know our students, we know our curriculum, and we know exactly what they need. And this tends to work better than something that is just consumed from the outside. Just my opinion.
Also have a plan to go for research, to go for focus group discussions, to know what the students need, what they want to know more, in which areas they need more practice. So on the basis of their needs, then develop our activities on the basis of their needs and their...
That's a good place for me to ask the question I was kind of thinking about, and that is, I'm wondering how many users you have of the app at the moment, and also what you have learned about what you just said, about how to respond to their needs, or what they need, or how they're, what have you learned about their reception and use of the of Brimming?
The number of users right now is exactly zero, because I'm still working on the app. But certainly the idea would be to release it and get the, and that's going to be the next step, is getting the app into the Google Play Store, which I don't think is going to be too difficult, and then the job of Shamsi and Bipasha and other people at Daffodil University will be getting the app onto the students' phones. And then after that, I think, Bipasha, you'll probably be more involved in this than anybody, because you're the research lady, is getting some kind of a survey or questionnaire to get feedback, because I think the best call materials are those that are where we, you know, we put it out there, and then we get feedback from the students themselves, and then we may find errors. We may find that some things are not as engaging as others. Some things are more interesting. They may say we need more of A, less of B, more of C, etc. So is that, that's what you're thinking, isn't it, Bipasha? I know we've had many discussions about this. So.
App will be available. We will start with around 3,000 students, I think.
Yeah.
Who are doing English 1 and English 2 courses, foundation classes.
Yeah. So hopefully, I will be going back over there at some point to do more training. And the teachers who are on this team can also do some of the training, I think. They're good teachers, and they're very dedicated. And I think we hopefully will get some more cooperation from the U.S. Embassy, from the American Center. But certainly anybody in the world is welcome to use this. It's going to be very much tailored to Bangladesh. But I will also release the stack, the original code, on the website. So anybody else would be free to take it. You know, maybe they like part of this and don't like all of it. Anybody else in the world will be free to download Live Code, the community edition, and then download our stack, and then make whatever, the one that goes to Google Play will be the so-called finished one, okay, the one that's deployed on the phones. But you can go back and take our development stack and adapt it however you want to. That's the whole idea of open source. That's the whole idea of community software development. So, you know, like maybe you don't want to have a beautiful daffodil on your software. Maybe you want to have something else, something from the University of Grenoble or from Barcelona or whatever. So the idea is that you could take it and develop it. But of course, in that spirit, after you have made those changes, then you should, you could send it to me or send it somewhere and put it on Facebook or wherever and say, here it is, and let other people have the benefit of your changes. So that's the spirit that I like to do things in. Let's all learn from each other and let's share our work. And I know Vance, the whole spirit of Webheads, the whole idea is very much in that tradition. I'm sure Vance is smiling. He likes it. No, and these ladies did all of this. Nobody paid them to attend the class. This was really on top of my regular assignment. It was not really part of my assignment. So we're all doing this because we really love it. I remember one day we were working in the lab, and one of the teachers, I think it was Shamsi, said, this is so relaxing. It can actually be relaxing just as it's sort of like crocheting or knitting or watching TV, because when you have a stressful life and you have a lot of demands from your job or from your family or commuting in Dhaka or whatever, it can be actually relaxing to sit down and work on something like that. But at least they've shared that idea with me, and it's certainly true in my case.
When it works, it looks like magic.
Yeah, when you click on that button and something really happens, it does feel like magic. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's good. But certainly, Vance, to answer your question, we don't plan just to put it out there and say, there it is, it's wonderful. The idea is to put it out there and do some serious research and get feedback from the students, and then hopefully maybe get feedback from other people in other parts of the world who are using it. I think that would be great.
I do have another question, which is, you said the obviously the first step is to get students to install it on their phones. And what kind of weight of app are you talking about? Do you know how heavy it will be once it's completed, and how much do they have to?
You mean in terms of the file size?
The space required on the phone.
Okay, right now, it's going to get a little bigger. Right now, it's about 9 megabytes. And that's one of the things that I'm dealing with, is deciding how much. Of course, the audio is what is adding so much. You can have many, many, many hundreds of text of screen, and that adds almost nothing. The more audio we add, the more difficult, the bigger it's going to be. Right now, it's about 9 megabytes. I'm going to try to keep it under 10 megabytes. I need to consult with Bipasha more about that, since that's really her section. I think for this first one, I'm just going to put one of those. Is that okay? We're actually doing live development here during the session. Is that going to be okay with you, Bipasha? I was going to email you just to use one text and then use some shorter sentences and not try to put all four of those texts in there, because that will make it. That's an issue in places like Bangladesh where the internet is not always as fast as we would like. So I would think in your situation in Europe, Elizabeth, it wouldn't be a problem at all.
But in fact, no. my
short sentences like that. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, I don't want to interrupt. We were both talking at the same time.
Okay. First, Bipasha.
So yes, we can have shorter texts actually.
Yeah.
Quite long, and we can have shorter texts.
Okay. I've lost your audio. Bipasha, I've lost your audio.
Claire, you might want to switch your cam off. Maybe that's a possibility.
Okay. Bipasha, could you please repeat?
Okay. I think we can have shorter text, Claire. It's
okay.
Quite possible that we have, instead of having those long sentences, we can chop them down, we can shorten them so that they can have more sentences and with less, which will consume less space.
Okay. What I'm thinking about is one long text, and then instead of the other three long texts, putting in some shorter segments. Okay,
yes.
Elizabeth.
My question was, are you implying that it would work offline? because
yes.
Okay.
Okay, and that's one of the nice things about Live Code. Okay, it doesn't run from a. Well, there is a version that runs from the browser, but this is not it. Okay, they would have to go to the idea is they will go to Google Play, they will go to the App Store, and they will download it. And once it's in their phone, then it doesn't need the internet.
Okay, because I find that some people don't have a lot of space on their phone. I got a brand new phone.
Yeah.
A lot of space, but some people have difficulty.
And that's one of the reasons why I want to keep it very small. And that's one of the issues that we have, is we have to keep it small because, and we haven't even gotten into that point of investigating how much space they do have. Hopefully, this is a first trial, but getting that feedback from the students will be very important. I'll need to get feedback from Bipasha and Sadia and Chomsky about whether or not this is going to work. And if they tell me a month from now, if they say, Claire, it's too big, the students can't download it, then we'll have to go back and take off the long segment and just deal with some shorter segments. I don't want to take off listening completely because that's one I think of the main advantages is that they can, as Bipasha said earlier, they can listen again and again and again as many times as they want to. So I want to leave the listening in there. But my answer to your question is we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. So a really important point. For my colleagues, you said at present it's 9 megabytes, yeah?
A little bit more than that, yes.
Yeah, okay, or even 10. And I'm just looking at my phone. I have iMovie at 689 megabytes.
Right, yeah.
So
yeah, well, most people have gigs and gigs and gigs. Most people have a lot of gigs on their phones, but I don't know how much space the students do have, and if the students, and this may end up being a file management problem, if the students are downloading a lot of videos and then they come in and they say, oh, we don't have room for this 9 megabyte brimming, then hopefully we do have the cooperation of the IT department at DAFNA, which is very important. We may have to go back to the students and say, look, you may have to delete some of those videos. I do want to say the IT department at DAFNA University is excellent, and without their support, I would not have been able to do anything. They're absolutely wonderful, and I really enjoy working with them. The English teachers used to tease. Sorry.
Helped us today to set this weather cap and everything in the morning.
Sorry.
The IT people helped us to set everything for today's session.
Yes.
They're very nice.
They're very nice. The English teachers used to tease me, and they said that I could communicate better with the IT people than with the English people, even though the IT people didn't speak much English. But it was true. And actually, I gave them a lunch before I left there. We had a big celebration with the cake and everything. But they hopefully, when we get into those issues about space, yeah. Well, Elizabeth, that's an issue. We love mobile learning. We love the convenience of it, but it is a problem. I mean, how many photos does your daughter have?
Yeah, no, that's the point. I mean, she's got a new baby who is 1 year old
this week.
And so practically every time he moves, she takes a photo. And I was really surprised. I mean, obviously it's an excessive use, but it was something that I had come across, you know?
But Vance makes a good point. Maybe we could put this on SD cards. That's a good idea. There's a project going on in India now where they're delivering English content to English teachers with SD cards. And they're using PDF files, they're using images, and they're using videos. But they're doing that not for smartphones. They're doing it for a lower level, what they call dumb phones or something. So that's a low level.
But I don't think it's a problem. I mean, I really wanted to ask to know, and I am discovering that it is very small, and that this is not a problem.
Well, it's going to be bigger. I'm adding some small segments of audio right now, but you know, these are issues that we have to think about. And as people have been telling me for many years, you never have enough storage and you never have enough memory. No matter what you have, it seems like it's never really enough. So that's, you know, that's one of the issues that we have to deal with. I'm looking now for my folder to see exactly how big it is.
Listening to your discussion, I'm thinking you've really got four apps here. You know, I was going to ask earlier, how much material do you have in vocabulary and reading, writing, listening?
Not a lot.
Seems like listening could be its own app.
I think they could be on it. Here's what I have right now. I just made a summary. I have 15 vocabulary. What I would like to have is about 200. I have five reading and context. I have 8 annotation and writing. I have 8 ID structure. And then I have some conjunction exercises. I have 10 of those. Listening, I haven't counted yet. And I'm still working on the listening. And listen, you're saying you don't think it's a problem. Well, it depends on how much audio I add. But that I would like to see that very much. I would like to see this branch out so that each of these is a separate app, definitely. And also, one thing that interests me a lot is I would like to make this so that students could make their own apps. And that's so that we could get enough teachers in Bangladesh who know how to do this, who can train other people. There's no reason why students couldn't make their own apps or work in this process. So that's what we would like to do. So as you can see, this project is really just beginning, and it can go in a lot of different directions. And we were doing this on top of all the other things that we were doing, which made it scheduling was always a problem. Getting a lab was a problem. All of these things were problematic. Laptops are not so common, and so my first idea was, well, we'll just meet in a room and we'll have laptops, and once we get live code onto the computers, we don't need the internet anymore, but that was never really feasible. So there have been things to slow us down. But Vance, I think your point is well taken. It could certainly be a bunch of different apps.
Yeah, maybe this one that you've developed could be the introduction app, and then you could add modules onto, or you could develop separate each one separately. Like you said, you wanted your next project to be vocabulary. Well, there you are.
Well, of course, I have not asked the teachers about that. That's my idea, and I'm very much maybe Shamsi and Vipasha and Sadia will have. Maybe they'll say no, Claire. It should maybe. Sasha will say, no, I don't want to be vocabulary, I want to be listening. And I'm very much guided by what they say.
Great. I love vocabulary.
Maybe they can have a fight about it, yeah. But when we showed this at TESOL, I was totally floored because one of the relos was there and he said, why don't you put in translation? He thought I should put in Bangla words and put in Hindi. The problem with that is that this app is really academic English, and it's at a higher level. And I think if we were doing a lower level app, that might be a whole other audience, and that it would be very appropriate to put in translation. And LiveCode will certainly handle that, but that's a whole different thing. So anyway, this is really, as you're saying, Vance, this is a proof of concept. This is, look what we can do. And we're showing some different ideas. And we were trying to design as many different activity types as we could within the limitations that we have. But anyway, that's where it is. So this is sort of a project, a progress report, I guess.
How do you see coding as a valid language learning exercise itself?
That's very interesting. That's a point that Deborah Healy used to talk about a lot. You might remember about. Remember when we used to program in BASIC? You remember those days, Vance? And she used to say that teaching students how to program is a way of teaching them Western thinking. Oh, Chomsky and Vipasha, you're probably holding up your dinner, aren't you? They're saying they need to leave. Thank you so much. You added so much to this discussion.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you so much.
I'd like to thank Titiana Angiolini for coming. She's from Italy. Yes. She's joined us earlier. So I want to just acknowledge all the participants. You acknowledge Rita Zeinsteyer, who was here earlier. Mm-hmm. And of course, thank you very much, Shansi and
Vipasha.
Vipasha, yeah.
Vipasha,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to add my
Vipasha,
thanks.
Yes. Dr. Vipasha.
I'd like to add my thanks too. I think that was really, really interesting. And having listened to it all, I think it's what's the word for it? Computing. What's the word for writing? It's programming. It definitely is programming. It's just programming on a different different platform.
Well, language teachers definitely see just programming. I think programmers would sort of not agree with that, but that's fine. You know, we can use our own definition, can't we?
Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you very much for talking about this project. It's certainly should stimulate lots of attention toward your work, and we appreciate your sharing it with Learning Together on this June 26, 2016. And we were talking with Dr. Vipasha and Shamsi. And we were going to talk with Sadia, also one of the developers here. And that's Claire Siskin, who just said yes. And she's she sort of got this together when she went to Bangladesh and helped stimulate the project with what she knows about live code, which is substantial. So thank you very much for coming on Learning Together and telling us about it. We really appreciate it.
Okay, it's been a pleasure, Vance. I'll go ahead and sign out now.
Okay, and I might as well say that what I do generally is I leave this open until participants leave. This is being recorded right now. When everything goes dead, I'll turn off the recording. At learningtogether.net, that's learning together with a two in it, I will post the recording link, and I'll probably just tweet it as long as we're doing that. But anyway, it will be posted at learningtogether.net and several other places. You're going to get a YouTube video that you'll be able to watch, as well as the recording of the session immediately. You can have that right away. And I'll also make an MP3 that you can play on your... You could actually use it as a listening lesson in the next iteration of Brimming. So, anyway, yeah. And Tiziana will check the recording. And so, anyway, so nice of you to come by. And we're about to close the session. Thanks all who joined us.